Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Just as special as it was last year, you know, maybe even more so because it's twice, but it is meaningful. I mean, it's meaningful because, you know, if I'm going to talk about it in those kind of terms and spiritual terms, it's a chance to bring glory on a glorious day, I would say, you know, an opportunity to kind of shine in that way, you know, before men. And a lot of people are going to be watching, so we want to put our best foot forward and do it the right way.
That was John Harbaugh, the opposing coach for the Houston Texans. He coaches the Ravens, opposing coach going against the Houston Texans tomorrow, on Christmas Day. DeMeco was asked in his coach's show about playing on Christmas Day. He had a similar answer. You know, they're looking forward to putting on a show for everybody. You get the stage to yourself for the second week in a row. I guess they must have played on Christmas last year because based on Harbaugh's answer at the beginning, they're talking about, well, it was just as much fun as it was last year to play on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
It's what happens when you're a good team, man. You play on the holidays.
I guess being on, I can't remember if that was home or away for the Ravens last year, but I guess that's the big difference.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd rather be on the road. If I'm preparing for a football game, I would rather just, you know, not have all the extra distractions. Well,
especially on Christmas, right?
Right. Yeah. Now, I mean, there's certain parts of that suck, obviously, yeah. But in terms of just getting ready for a football game,
yeah.
I almost wonder if it actually favors the road team because you have fewer of all those extra distractions of family in town and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, I'd almost they'd rather be playing at noon also. They're playing at 3:30, so you got all the, you probably do have a lot of stuff going on in the morning.
Some gifts opening and everything.
Yeah, that's
a good point, Sean.
Yeah, thanks.
So they did screw the Texans with this schedule stuff.
Always.
I was fighting it.
Yep. Always. Text message. I know the Tank Dell injury is a topic of conversation, and it's a really big deal, but it has eliminated any conversation about the beatdown the Texans are going to take tomorrow against the Ravens. Well, we're here for you, Texter. Now, I don't know.
I apologize. I had something in my ear. He was talking about the conversation about Tank.
Yes.
No, not here. It's an injury and it sucks. And yeah, but it's not. I have the way people are carrying on about this. I feel like it's an insult to everybody else that's been injured on the team.
If I'm Jalen Petrie, I'm like, hey, man, I'm right over here.
Yeah. Like,
I'm out for the year, too.
How do you move on
yeah.
without Tank Dell when you guys haven't really been able to do anything offensively anyway?
Right.
Whereas with Jalen Petrie, he was on the side of the ball that's actually at least doing something.
Yeah.
Is there a procession at somewhere downtown today to where people can grieve the loss of Tank Dell?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, we've got to move on in the short term. We got to move on to the Ravens game. I am concerned about Tank and next season. That part is weighing over
me.
I'm
concerned
right now.
About that. And I'm concerned for Tank himself about the future of his career after a gruesome knee injury that. But it's like all
the
this,
game's tomorrow.
All this nonsense about like how do you guys rebound emotionally? Yeah. Because they've got a football game to play.
Right, right.
I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. That's why I got so... Like, I don't understand how it's so hard for people to grasp that, like, okay, somebody got injured, and then you keep playing football. Like you do with every single other guy that ends up on
IR.
They
love Tank, man.
Every year.
They love them some Tank.
It's really bothering me, honestly.
Yeah.
I like because
I could see as a former player where that would bother
you. Well, because it's on the offensive side of the ball, and they're not performing.
Right.
They're not doing anything. I don't need an emo display about just and calling it a tragedy and everything. It's an injury. Move on.
Let's talk
Get
ball.
Get your head out of your ass. Stop crying and go play football.
Let's talk ball.
Okay.
Six pack. Can number one. And this is, the Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson combination. Dude, I was over at Channel 2 yesterday. I was doing Randy McAvoy's, he does a streaming show, an Inside the Texans streaming show, late mornings, I guess, the week of games. We did it yesterday live, and they threw a graphic up on the wall. He's got one of those big walls where you can put graphics up there, and we're standing next to the wall. And I've not followed Lamar Jackson statistically at all. I know he's having a good year. Like, he's in the MVP conversation. They threw his stats up next to CJ's. And CJ's stats, by last year's standards, are mediocre. He's thrown a ton of interceptions. I looked at Lamar Jackson's stats. I'm like, whoa, is this a misprint? He's thrown 37 touchdowns and four interceptions this year.
Honestly, it is really, really weird that it seems to be the consensus opinion that Josh Allen is the runaway MVP. I don't get it. Maybe we're a little biased because we saw the worst version of Josh Allen.
Yeah.
But Lamar Jackson is having an awesome season.
Yes.
And he's doing it not just as a runner, not just as a guy that's a pretty good passer. He's doing both of those things. And I'll tell you, the two-headed monster of these guys, Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry, the stat I didn't realize, I knew that Derrick Henry was over 1,700 yards rushing. 5.9 yards per carry.
I knew you were going to say that. I thought the same thing. I'm like, this guy is averaging almost 6 yards a carry.
He's like a really good college back.
Yeah.
Like anything over 5 yards in the NFL is impressive.
Monster.
But usually it comes with, a lot of times it's the second running back that's not getting many touches, and he's getting 5+ yards per carry.
Right.
And then he gets a free agency contract somewhere else where he has to do the full workload. And like, hey, what happened? What happened to the guy that was incredible on 150 carries?
The Tony Pollard situation.
No, with Derrick Henry, he's a workhorse, and he's averaging 5.9 yards per carry.
Yes, yeah.
It's a challenge, man. This is a formidable offense.
Big time. Big time. So that's number one. I think there's not much else to say. I mean, these guys as a combination, how the league let Derrick Henry. I blame Jerry Jones because I think Derrick Henry wanted to play in Dallas.
Yeah, they didn't even talk to him, right?
They didn't talk to him. Yeah, they're like, no, we're good with Rico Dowdle. We're fine.
I wanted Derrick Henry over Saquon Barkley. I feel like at this point, with the way both those guys are playing, that's a wash. I don't think either of those guys would be doing that in Houston.
No chance.
I mean, Philadelphia, you got one of the all-time best offensive line coaches in Jeff Stoutland. Yep. The Ravens, you've got former Texans O-line coach George Warhop. Is their offensive line coach.
Yeah.
I just feel awesome about that.
What year?
2022.
22, okay. It was Campen in the Cully year, and then Warhop in the Lovie Smith year. That's right.
So they're
Strouser.
And obviously just the dual threat of Lamar and Derrick Henry. It's a great situation for Derrick Henry. I don't think either of those guys would be having these kinds of numbers in Houston. If that helps anybody feel any better.
I agree. And I'm happy with Joe Mixon, by the way. I think Joe Mixon's done really, really well.
I think Joe Mixon would be having a much better season on both those teams.
I agree with that. Number two, when they're not running the ball down your throat, the Ravens have a couple of tight ends that are an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Andrews, who at times has been an all-pro caliber player, and the second-year player, Isaiah Likely, who's done some good things.
Is this only his second year?
I think so, yeah. He was a rookie last year, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
Fairly certain. Texans don't defend tight ends well.
No, they don't. They don't. And especially
go back
now.
Over the last several games, even like that Cowboys game when Ferguson goes out of the game and all of a sudden Schoonemaker or whatever his name is, like, oh yeah, this guy's the next Travis Kelce. Now, I see.
So that's the
problem. Man.
I think so. They're gonna get some touches. They just will. And now it's a matter of the old, okay, you got to swarm these guys. You know, Travis Kelce last week was, it wasn't like Travis Kelce was a driving force behind the Chiefs offense, but they dinked and dunked enough with him reliably.
Paper cuts. So the Ravens tight ends are an issue. It's a good Ravens offense, man. Just a really good Ravens offense. Number three.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Life After Tank, which I know everybody wants to talk about, Life After Tank. Deontay Johnson is a Houston Texan. How do they go about attacking them? Tank, you know, for all the talk about how this injury has been this major topic the last couple days, Tank was having his best game of the season when he went down with that injury.
Mm-hmm.
That's the frustrating thing, is not just the absence of Tank, Seth, but the fact that it looked like they were figuring some things out on the road against a pretty good defense in Kansas City.
Well, and... I think the thing that they've done the last couple weeks, which is we've been wondering, okay, why don't they take more of this strategy, is Bobby abandoned hope for the run game, which is good, at least in the short term, because they've been passing to set up the run.
Yes.
And that's why the total rushing attempts have gone down a little bit. But I think they've realized finally, oh, all right, my dream is not to be the way that I envisioned it. And we got to do what we might be capable of, which is let's sit back and let's dink and dunk when we need to. And I think CJ's done a good job of that. He's thrown to his outlet receivers a lot more quickly and in rhythm. That's how it's going to have to be. So the addition of Deontay Johnson, however many snaps he plays, if at all, this week, it's just as a threat and somebody that has to be considered. It could pay dividends. It could help keep Nico from being fixated upon so much.
John Metchie, full go at practice yesterday, so he missed the Chiefs game with a shoulder injury. He'll be back for this game. So they've got another body to go out there. And by the way, Steven Sims, who was cut by the Texans, who I think they were hoping to get back in waivers and put on the practice squad, he actually got picked up by the Ravens, Steven Sims. The
Ravens have Dez King picked up this year, too.
Yeah. He's going to return kicks.
He's done the old Steelers and Baltimore Ravens highway, too. Whatever that was, that I-80 through PA? The old I-80 exchange. Yeah.
All right, number four, Justin Matabike, the latest interior defensive lineman, and the defensive line in general. The Ravens have not played good defense this year, but they've played well against the run. It's the pass that's been the issue for them.
Yeah.
Do we want to hear from Bobby Slowick?
It's too long.
Okay.
Basically, Bobby Slowick talked about the run game in the recent weeks and how just there haven't been as many plays called. He was actually talking about the fact that they've been kind of passing to set up the run more so than anything else.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Matabike will be going against an interior that will be Titus Howard, left guard.
Yeah.
Oh my God, who's playing center for this team right now? Jared Patterson. And then Kendrick Green is going to be the right guard for the game this weekend. So there you go. Justin Matabike, that's going to be tough to handle.
Their other young player, Travis Jones, the nose tackle, he's a good player too.
Yeah,
and Kyle Van Noy last week played really well. And they got to Russell Wilson with
a four-man rush running games.
Great.
And like all those things
that the Texans have struggled
with.
The Texans know how to handle that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Take that, Ravens.
Yeah. And then in the run game again, yeah, you're going to have to pass to set up the run because the Ravens' run defense is very, very good. They've got all those things that tend to make the Texans rush for 2 yards per carry, whether it's the Lions or the Titans or whatever. It's that kind of run defense
yeah.
that the Texans have this year. Almost every single time they faced a good run defense, they've averaged 2 yards per carry.
All right, number five, kicking game. These are two kickers in this game with very good reputations. But there have been struggles. Kyme Fairbairn has struggled of late. He got off to a great start this season, but missed an extra point, a crucial extra point in that Chiefs game. Missed the chip shot field goal against the Titans that would have tied that game late in the game. So there have been some dents in the armor here with Kyme Fairbairn. Meanwhile, Justin Tucker, by his standards, the kicker for the Ravens, future Hall of Famer, has had an awful season.
Mm-hmm.
He's 21 of 29. Which is, you know, and that's cost them a couple games. The reason you could say that one of the reasons, if not the reason, they're trailing the Steelers in the division right now is Justin Tucker has missed some crucial kicks this year.
That was a game of nothing but field goals. Their first go around versus the Steelers,
yes, yeah.
and the Steelers.
That's all they did was
field goals. Yeah,
Boswell kicked six field goals yeah. in that game. So kicking game, if. Look, the Ravens are a three-point favorite, so the oddsmakers think this is going to be a close game. Could come down to a kick, so we'll see what happens there. I will give my prediction right now. Ravens 31, Texans 17. I just can't watch these press conferences and watch all the emo going on right now with this team and think they're ready for a short turnaround for this team.
I think the
of all the teams, in my opinion, in the AFC, the Ravens' best game, you know, their A-plus game is better than anybody else's A-plus game in the AFC.
This is where I'm not worried about the emo stuff, really, is that the problem with the press conferences is that they keep asking these questions about Tank, and you want to be, those guys want to be respectful towards Tank and not say, like, you know, they don't want to get up and say, like, well, look, yeah we got to move on. Look, this happens all the time.
Yeah.
So they're trying to pay him his due respect. I think at one point in the press conference yesterday, CJ could have said, like, listen, guys, we've talked enough about Tank. Like, I can't. And then I got angry because I was starting to, like, get angry at CJ. Because I'm like, all right, look, I've had enough life lessons from a 23-year-old about perspective and the greater scheme and everything. Like, I don't need to hear this anymore, okay? So I don't think that they're as emotionally bereft over it as people somehow assume they
are.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And you're right, though, but CJ by bawling on the sidelines was that did contribute to that somewhat.
You'll give your prediction in the 9 o'clock hour.
Sure.
Okay. You will
yes.
give your prediction in the 9 o'clock hour. Seth always gives his in the last hour of the show. So stay tuned for that a little later on today. Today is a Tuesday combo Friday show because it's the day before a game. So we'll talk to Ross Tucker. That's a Tuesday staple. We'll do that at 7 o'clock today. Up next, headlines. We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans. Injury updates, not just on Tank Dell, but others in the building there, good and bad. The Astros introduced their newest player yesterday, Christian Walker. We'll hear from Christian Walker on becoming a Houston Astro. Rockets win last night. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sink of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the Sink of Truth. Follow and listen to Sink of Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.